Hey everyone, welcome to the Prodigal Fawn, where we talk about topics that are near and dear to our hearts.
Hunting,
fishing, and
our faith.
Welcome back to another episode. It is now officially elk season, started last weekend on Friday. Super cool, because I'm used to having a late elk season, but now it's my first year bow hunting, so season starts in the summer, which is crazy to me. It is so hot outside. Right now, before we get too deep, while we're doing the podcast, we're kind of doing some painting, too, at the same time. Like, what kind of painting would you call this?
Well, what do you mean specifically?
Like, what we're painting, if you had to give it a topic.
Bible verse, or just a biblical scene, I guess, is okay. What we're going for.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. But yeah, this last weekend we went out. Crazy weekend for me, experiencing my first bow season. So, like, we arrived at camp around, what, like 8:30?
Yeah, super late. I mean, we both had to work on Thursday, so.
I thought it was kind of funny, though, that your dad flashed his lights, knew it was us coming from the camp when he flashed the flashlight.
Yeah. So I guess to get background there, dad came down earlier in the day and got a spot picked out, and then when we got off work, we met up with him. He already had a campsite figured out.
Mm-hmm. First morning hunt, we woke up 5 o'clock in the morning.
I think we're up and moving by five. The first alarm was around 4:30.
Which, hey, I was impressed because, like we've said in previous podcasts, we can't seem to wake up ever on time for work. But we did for elk hunting, so look at that. So yeah, we woke up pretty early, first morning hunt. We had a plan. Sometimes, most of the time, plans don't go as planned. So we walked up a game trail, and we walked into this wallow, and we were planning on sitting there for a little bit. Then all of a sudden, this random dude came up behind us and was starting to talk to us. And me, that's weird. Like, if you're a hunter and you see other hunters, you try to avoid them and go the other way or whatever. And this guy walked up acting like he knew you guys, and I was like, what the heck is going on? Clearly, he didn't recognize you,
yeah. But
then he saw your dad sitting by the tree, and he goes, oh, hey, Chris, you know, and then all of a sudden, I knew that it was a family friend or something like that. Anyways, yeah, and then plans got changed, and your dad ended up going with him because he said he needed help with setting up some tree stands,
mm-hmm.
And so him and his dad and his friend left, and we were sitting at the wallow for like 4 hours. We took a couple naps here and there, ate some snacks and stuff. And then all of a sudden you hear your dad whistle. I'm like half asleep. And you go, hey, babe, my dad's up there. He must have killed something. I was like, how do you know that? He's like, he doesn't have a pack on. It's just his short sleeve shirt. I was like, okay, that could literally mean anything. But clearly he needed us for something. He's whistling up this huge hill. And so we go up there and I'm like booking it half asleep. I'm like, what the hell? Like, what is going on? We get up there and he's like, literally brushes his hands. And he's like, look. Well, he didn't say look. He shows me his hands and they're bloody. And we're like, shoot, you're right. Your dad did kill something. And then lo and behold, he shot a cow elk.
Mm-hmm.
First time I packed out a cow elk. It was crazy. Like I've said before, like, you don't understand or how to explain the experience of carrying out your own meat till you do it. And it was heavy, but man, that was a good feeling. It was awesome. And good for your dad, even though he wasn't planning on shooting a cow and the first day of opening season. Good for him. He said, what? It was kind of a hard opportunity to miss. It was came in at 17 yards and didn't move and was looking straight at him broadside.
Well, yeah, and him and the buddy were sitting there. Dad, you know, they're both just kind of in disbelief because this elk just ran down the hill and is standing broadside in front of him. And the buddy looks at Dad and goes, do it.
I know.
But no, it was awesome. I mean, at least as a group, had an elk down on the first day and helped pack it out. And then it's not the first time that buddy's helped pack out one of Dad's elk. So
yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Cool dude.
Yeah, I mean, meat in the freezer for Dad, and we're still looking for one.
Why don't you explain the next day?
You want me to explain the next
day? Yeah, I do, from your perspective.
So the next morning, we had a plan. We're going to do kind of the opposite of the hunt we planned on the first day. So we came in one side of a trail and we're going to come out closer to camp the first day. And the next day we decided, you know, to come in on the trailhead that was closer to camp. And then we were going to come over the top because that buddy had invited us over to have some tri-tip in his camp. And he was at the bottom of the trailhead that we went up the first day. It was kind of funny. So like, there's a spot, like we have a spot that like is kind of base camp for where we hunt. And it's actually where I proposed to Destiny. Just a little ways past that, you have to climb up this super steep face, and then that kind of branches into the three different drainages that we hunt around. And before we start, you know, cross over the creek to climb up the steep face, I tell Destiny, just about every hunt I was on last year, I ran into elk right up this face. And it's always like when you're climbing up this steep face, and you're like, ah, oh, I just can't wait to be to the top, take a rest, and boom, an elk will appear. Well, we get maybe 100 yards up this face, and I'm in the lead. Dad's already tagged out, so he's just trailing in the back. Extra set of eyes, you know, more experience. Destiny's in the middle. I mean, trying to get her an elk. I've been hunting this place for a long time, so I kind of know around. And we're just walking along on this game trail and take a couple steps, and I look up the hill, and I was like, huh, that was an elk ass. Elk butt. Whisper back, tell Destiny there's a cow elk, you know, just up the hill. I look at Dad, and Dad kind of gives us, you know, keep on moving forward. We sneak up around. Well, as we're walking, one elk turned into three elk turned into, you know, probably about 20 elk.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of got pinned down in an open spot, and just, I mean, it was kind of crazy because the entire time I was just thinking, I can't believe we're not going to get spotted.
I know.
Well, so like right as we got like in that situation where there's so many elk around us, a bull actually came over the top of this little ridge and was chasing a smaller bull. Both of them were fairly small bulls, but all of 70 yards away. I mean, it would have been a good poke, but both of them, I had broadside opportunities, but it never really crossed my mind to even make an attempt because I was trying to get Destiny on an elk and really didn't matter what elk at that point. But we got excited because when those bulls ran over, they kind of pushed the cows a little closer to us. I mean, it seemed like eons sitting there standing still, having cow elk look dead at you and then slowly graze away. And I mean, there's many opportunities, or not opportunities, but moments when I'd look up and be like, go to get my rangefinder, get a range on an elk, and realize they were staring directly at me. But eventually, one of the cows was feeding down and ended up getting pretty close. From my angle, it didn't look like Destiny would have a shooting opportunity, but obviously her and my dad knew better. A cow turned broadside, not quite sure whether it was 30 or 40 yards. Rangefinder looking uphill said 40, rangefinder looking downhill said 30, but Destiny put her 30-yard pin on, and I'm just so proud of how composed you were with all, like, the amount of time and, like, just letting the elk fever get to you. Like, I'm very impressed with how you handled yourself, and, like, it would have been a really good shot. Destiny used her 30-yard pin, and it went right under. So we're going to lean toward that it was probably closer to 40 yards away. I mean, it was a clean miss. It was still an awesome experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was crazy because how I tried to hold myself accountable for having elk fever, you know, right before a bow shot. Once you said there's a cow elk up there, I was like, okay, Destiny, you need to take some deep breaths because you're not going to try to mess this up because you're too excited. You hear too many stories of people doing that all the time. So that whole time we were waiting that long, I took some deep breaths and was like, okay, just focus. Once you get a shot, you get a shot. Just focus on the elk and your follow through. So we finally waited for this cow elk to get 40, 30 yards. Once I saw it turn broadside close enough, I thought to myself, because you guys were trying to be quiet, I didn't want to ask any questions at the perfect time of it turning broadside. I like guesstimated that it was like 30 yards when I really should either have aimed in between the 30 to 40 yard pin and just took that chance. But instead I was like, screw it, 30 yards. I aimed, I focused on it, took my time. And as soon as I squeezed, your dad said 40 yards with their rangefinder. I was like, schwack. And then all of a sudden I saw that arrow go right underneath the belly, almost exactly an inch, and it missed. And then I didn't see where the arrow went from there. And then the herd was spooked just a little bit, but kind of moseyed off up the ridge. I don't know. It was just, maybe my nerves did get the best of me during the middle of the shot. I'm going to guess I probably dropped my hand a little bit, because what your dad said when we were looking for the arrow and we were sitting right where we thought I shot the elk, he was like, where you were standing, it actually does say 30 yards. And then, yeah, I don't know. Like,
oh, it's definitely hard after the fact to remember how the moment went down.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I think that's something like all bow hunters can experience. They're like, you get the adrenaline and all you can focus on is the elk. And I know it would be really hard, you know, to shoot and then be trying to watch the arrow. And so you bring your arm down.
Well, it was kind of funny because when she did turn broadside and I brought my bow up and I drew back there for a minute, it was hard to find my peep sight. I was like, what the heck? I've practiced this a billion times this summer. What is going on? And then I finally found it and I got them, you know, in my comfort zone with my shot. Maybe, I don't know, maybe at that moment I kind of did rush it. I don't know. I just, for some reason, I thought she was going to keep walking or spot us or something. So I like, but it was weird though, because I was like cool, calm, and collected when I did it. It was the weirdest thing ever. I was like in the galaxy zone or something like that, because I was like, bull elk, okay, nothing but brown in my pins. Cool, let's do it. Drew, pull my release back, and then I missed. So, but you live and you learn. I hope I don't do that ever again. So
you can be happy that it was a solid, clean miss, though. Like,
yeah,
it's better to have that than to have had a low shot, shot the cow in the brisket, and then say we don't end up finding her before she dies, and like lose that meat, just killed an animal. That, you know, needlessly, right? Like,
it took us a good 40 minutes to find my arrow.
Because I guess for the people listening, both you and Dad heard it hit branches or a log, or you just heard that stick sound. Well, it ricocheted like 40 yards up the hill. Mm-hmm. And embedded itself in a deadfall log, but it was like perfectly aligned the way the log was, like they were parallel the way the arrow was.
Well, embedded. It was weird because you'd think if an arrow ricocheted, it would beam a different direction, but this arrow stayed straight and landed on the side of a log.
Opposite in the arc that it was going though, right? Like,
yeah, it like went below the elk's belly, binged off a branch, went up, and then into the side of a log. Like, it was crazy. I don't know.
In that experience, like, how would you, like, in terms of, like, mental, emotional, how would you describe that experience?
I don't know, something I always told myself I shouldn't do, watching other people do it. Once I missed, and I knew I did, I was like, that one opportunity, second day of opening season, was like, dang. But at the same time, I was like, I was not expecting an opportunity like this. Like, maybe a little bit of me would, but maybe, like, later in the year, you know, once I, like, worked my butt off or something like it for it. After I took that shot, and we found my arrow and I knew it. I think looking for the arrow was like the most disappointing part of it, because A, I didn't know where my arrow was, and B, I didn't know whether or not I actually did injure the animal. And then when we finally found the arrow, it was a relief, because I was like, well, at least I know I didn't injure the animal and I still have a shooting opportunity in this month, you know, mm-hmm. And we don't have to go looking for an animal for hours. I don't know. Like, I was disappointed, of course. I must have let my nerves get the best of me. I don't know, the best way I can explain it was, it was a really cool dang thing to experience as a beginner bow hunter. And also at the same time, a very upsetting feeling, but in every good way.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those learning things that you take and you're like, well, you learn that at, you would rather learn that at first than later. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and I think, I mean, from my perspective, if you had shot that elk, I feel it might have ruined you a little bit.
Like, ha, this is easy.
Yeah.
When really it's not.
Your expectations would be higher. I mean, that is not bow hunting.
Yeah, no.
Granted, you'd already helped pack down an elk, you know, the first day, so you had put in that work. I feel like that would have been your experience. 2 days. Wow, bow hunting is easy.
Mm-hmm.
But we still got all of September.
I know. It was so crazy because I've done all this rifle elk hunting. North, it's a little different. You don't see much elk like you do during September. And then all of a sudden, you know, we see all these game trail pictures, and we even heard a couple chuckles the first morning we were before your dad shot the cow. That second day, seeing that whole herd on that hill, like, I was crazy. Mm. I was like, I could do this for the rest of my life. If I'm seeing this much action, hell yeah. I don't know. Like you said, because then the next day we didn't see anything.
But
so it's a roller coaster.
On that same day, though. So, I mean, we had that. That was a crazy experience. And I mean, I've been bow hunting a decent amount, nowhere near as much as my dad, but I've been out there a lot. Like, I mm-hmm. lived up there in September.
Yeah.
Well, just, we went and checked one of our other trail cameras and kind of took a little rest. But then later in the evening, not even evening, but late afternoon, sun's high in the sky. Most of the animals are bedded down, theoretically, right?
Yeah.
And we jumped a dang grouse. Well, at the time, I was like, well, we're way back in here. I don't want to shoot a grouse and have to pack it out. I mean, it's going to be all warm and not nasty by the time we get it out. I took one more step, and a five-point bull jumped up 15 yards in front of me. He was laying down in the shade by a creek.
And crossed the game trail and went down into this, like, drainage area.
Yep. Well, from my perspective, I'm still leading the pack here. Mm-hmm. I was a few steps in front of Dad and Destiny. I couldn't see the elk anymore. As soon as he jumped, I thought he ran straight downhill. So, like, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to take a few more steps forward so I can see him. Well, in doing so, I was unaware of the fact that he was standing 20 yards down the hill broadside, mm-hmm. that my dad was one of the only ones to see. Were you able to see him?
So, once you jumped the bull and he went across, at first I couldn't see him. I was kind of thinking the same thing as you, like he just dipped it. But then all of a sudden I heard him stop. I took a lean to the left and I realized he's broadside, but I'm too far in front of a bush and your dad is right in shooting lane. And then the bull took off. Like maybe 4 seconds we had an opportunity to shoot him broadside. But your dad's like, I was yelling at you, Destiny, to get up here. If you wouldn't have moved and followed Dean, you could have gotten a shot at him, a shot opportunity. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, when, I don't know, like, when there's an action like that, you don't hear anything other than you're focused on where that bull is and how to take action. And so I was like,
It was kind of funny. Later that day, my dad pointed out something that I didn't give much thought to, but, I mean, we haven't hunted together in a good little while, mm-hmm. let alone bow hunted together. You know, as a kid hunting with your dad, you know, makes you walk in front of you because you're the one hunting. And as a kid, you're kind of hating it because you feel like you're being judged every step you make and every move you make. Well, at this point in my life, I mean, I feel like I am the one responsible for the hunt at this point. Like, dad's already tagged out. I'm trying to get Destiny an elk. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had that split decision. The elk jumped. I decided I was going to move, which in deciding that, I jumped that bull and he ran off to oblivion. But my dad said later to me,
we were sitting on a ridge and he was like, don't take this personally the wrong way, but as your father, and then he led into.
You've grown up, you're doing your own hunting, you don't look back over your shoulder anymore. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I mean, I was, I'd take like 3 steps, look over my shoulder, make sure I'm doing right. You know, is this what dad wants me to do? And mm-hmm. in that moment, I wish I had, but. You know, you got to make your own decisions at some point, and sometimes you choose wrong.
Well, since you went to college, you've been hunting by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so you gain your own habits and, as an independent hunter.
It was kind of cool to have both of those. I wouldn't say the second one was as much of an opportunity, per se.
No.
The shot didn't line up quite right, but, I mean, to have those run-ins on, like, I mean, that first day we sat on that wallow, and then we packed out an elk. So, I mean, I feel like you kind of got robbed your full opening day. It was made up for that second day, right?
Like, oh, 100%. Like, I enjoyed every little bit of learning so much from you and your dad just within that day. And even the first day. I mean, how to stalk elk, how to just your guys' little circle on top of that ridge where you guys circle. Like, just your plan and how to do it. And you're like, where the elk are going to be certain days. You know, I mean, you never know, but your dad has hunted there for 25 years?
Oh, longer than that.
He knows elk there, like, the back of his hand. I mean, you can just, the way he talks, you know, that's just a second home to him, if not his first. I guess the second feeling I had from that second day and had that huge opportunity is such a perfect broadside shot. And the elk and the way it just landed for me and I missed, I think that's where the sucky part of it is. Other than that, everything was just amazing to experience, even though I did miss.
See, that's the thing about elk hunting, though, my love. 90% of elk hunting is chance, right?
Yeah.
Just the hope that you run into elk. The hope that one gives you that opportunity.
Right.
And that 10% where it comes down to you, that's where it happens. And I mean, you'll have a million more of those.
Right.
Man. But with each one of those comes a story and a memory and a chance to learn. You know, like, mm-hmm. that's just part of it.
I know. But man, even after that day, we left that night after, I even told myself, like, once we got back from the full trip, I was like, I could see me doing this for the rest of my life. For the rest of September's here in Idaho. Like,
even with Sunday?
Even with Sunday. The day that was super hot, we were climbing up steep stuff and didn't see a single thing. Not even a grouse.
Just a whole bunch of moo cows.
and ants and bees that were freaking terrorizing us.
Losing the trail at the end of the day.
I don't know. I love the suffering of it in a weird way. I just do. And I don't know much of anything else in my life that I love the suffering of it, but like the end result of it as well. Like the wisdom you get from it and the struggle makes you stronger, but in such a great, happy way.
Well,
I don't know how to explain it, but I'm sure other people know exactly what I'm talking
about.
Well,
what about jiu-jitsu?
Well, and that's the other thing I can only compare it to is my MMA and my jiu-jitsu background. Like going to practice every day, even though I have to go work a 10-hour shift, and going to put in an hour to 2 hours into getting my butt whipped or whipping someone's butt and sweating. And I mean, that's the only other thing I can compare it to. But
I would say hunting and the gym or martial arts practice, like there's one thing they all have in common. You never regret going.
You never regret going. I think that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
No matter how horrible the hike is, no matter how much you got your butt whooped in practice, you're going to get home and be like, damn, it was a good day.
You're always learning something,
mm-hmm.
something that you can use for the rest of your life that you're never going to regret. That was a good weekend, first weekend. Maybe we can get on some more this weekend too. I don't know. We'll find out.
Still have all of September, so.
I know. I'm pumped. Other than that weekend, you're taking me to Laney for my birthday, which I'm super pumped for. But yeah, I learned a lot from you and your dad this last weekend. And he's coming up the last weekend of elk season, September.
Probably the last two weekends.
Right. We're going to spike camp, which would be pretty cool to experience.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, always watch these guys on YouTube do it. You're like, that actually looks terrible, but
yeah, you got to carry all of your stuff in.
Yeah.
Then if you get something, you gotta carry all your stuff out and what you got.
And what, like, if you're going on like a 3-day spike elk hunt, the average bag typically weighs 60 pounds for
all
most
your
people.
Food, your camp, I mean, your tent, your sleeping bag, and plus like all the little commodities that you need, you know.
Which I'm gonna guess that front shoulder you guys gave me weighed about 60 pounds. And if that weighed 60 pounds and my knees were already buckling a little bit, I can imagine a spike elk hunting trip. So I need to get into some shape. That's all I gotta say. It was a good weekend. This weekend, I feel good about this weekend. Hopefully there's not as many people.
I mean, really,
honestly,
Labor Day is kind of a rough day for opener to start on.
Yeah.
Like everybody, there's all the people out camping, bird hunters, archery hunters that just...
It was crazy, though, because you and your dad and even his friend were like, it's super busy up here. North Idaho rifle season, once elk opens, it's crazy the amount of people we see. It's crazy, and it is super hard. Even within a area you plan on hunting for elk, it's so hard to find a camping spot. You guys, from being down here and being bow season, you guys saying that that's a lot of people, that kind of surprised me, but well, I don't honestly know how busy it usually is down
here. Also got to remember... Bow season.
Yeah.
Small
for bow season.
Fraction of the hunters are bow hunters.
Yeah. For bow season, that's probably a lot of people.
Rifle season, we don't even. It's a war zone.
Yeah. So I see, like, for bow season, that's probably a lot of people typically. But
which, I mean, I'm all for people getting outside and going hunting, but I do kind of covet my spots.
Public land is a great thing, but also a terrible thing at the same time. One of these days, maybe we'll own our own land.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, we'll probably have another podcast, Nick, to cover next weekend once we get back. Talk a little bit about that and results. Just mostly want to talk about this last opening day, couple of days of elk season. So you want to leave us off of a Bible verse, babe?
Yeah. So the verse we found, I mean, with hunting being the main theme of this episode, we're trying to find hunting-related verses. I know shouldn't be picking and choosing from the Bible, but the verse I picked, or that Destiny picked, that is in Genesis 27. Get a focus on chapter 27, verse 2 through 4. But it is basically Isaac's on his deathbed, and he's talking to his son and kind of making a last request. So basically he says, "Behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and my soul may bless you before I die."
That is so good.
That will probably be a similar request to my children on my deathbed.
I love that. So yeah, take that, see what you can do with it. We'll see you guys next on the next episode.
Thank you, everybody.